Turn your Bibles, will this afternoon, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're taking a look at this sanctification, progressive sanctification, and being set apart more for the Lord. In the Bible, in the KJV translation, the word perfect that is used and what that word is talking about, some misunderstand that. We will not be perfect till we're like Christ. But we do mature in this life. As I mentioned this morning, when we're first saved, we're like babes, okay? We know we're saved, we know we're alive, but we don't know much. But with the Word of God, we can grow. And right there is that sanctification. We learn more about the Lord. We learn more about what the Lord's done for us. We know that we're saved, but how He saved us and the details of that and the whys and what fors and the hows and all that, we learn about that. And as we learn, we become less ignorant. And as we take those things and take the Lord's Word and hide it in our hearts and apply it to our lives, and we learn more about Him and what He's done for us, we become a more grateful people, a more thankful people, a people with understanding. Not out here blowing around in the wind, but out here being more and more established by the truth of what God has done, what He's promised. And what that does is that encourages us. That helps us. When pressures come on, when things that would come our way or blow our way that would be such to cause us to doubt, we can go back to what we've learned from the Lord and say, no, the Lord said this. This is the way that it is. We find out more about our calling. We're not just here saved by the Lord to be here and take up space, but we're here to live for Him. This isn't our home. We're to take every blessing and benefit and use it for the furtherance of His kingdom. And we learn about those things. What happens is when you and I learn and we grow and we become more in tune with the way and the will of the Lord by His Word, our fellowship with Him increases. We realize that we are, too, and are walking humbly with our God. He's walking with us. He's working with us. He's using us. And in that, we're becoming more and more set apart for Him. Are we living life for ourselves over here on this side? Are we living life for Him? What's the attitude of our hearts? And what's the way of our life? What is it that our mouth says about what's within us and why we're here and where we're heading and what's going on? And so one way that we can know that this of a progression of being set apart, a progression of maturity, again, that passage over in Peter's epistle where he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so to grow in Him glorifies Him. And that's what happens. Well, we can know that this is so in the Scriptures about this call, this phrase where the apostle says to us, to the Lord's children, especially we who are in one of the Lord's churches, is He would not have us to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. And we've seen about several things in that regard. We don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Do you know about Satan's devices? Do you know the temptation by which Satan can use? I'm not talking about learning about evil and wickedness, but being aware that Satan is at work. He is against us. And he will take and use any method or means to take and allure us, draw us away from the way of the Lord, and draw us towards wickedness and sin. He loves the destruction of the Lord's people. He loves the compromise of the Lord's people. He enjoys that, and He works that way. So we don't need to be ignorant about the way Satan can work. He can use the things of the world and the media of the world. He can use those who are not saved. And he can use the spirits, the fallen angels that work and do things within people and in the world. And we can be drawn away by those things. We need to watch out. We don't need to be willfully ignorant. The Lord says something, you and I, and we need to take it up. Know it's the truth. Don't be Don't be wishy-washy. The Lord says this is the way that it is. That needs to be our way and our policy to follow after what the Lord says, not be doubtful about it. You know, our mother Eve became doubtful about what God said. And here we are, right? And so we need to not be willfully ignorant. We need to never suppose upon the grace of our Lord bestowed upon us. And then we need to not be ignorant, as we took a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't need to be ignorant about the ministry that's going on around us. You know, you and I are in the Lord's church. There are many, many saved people that are not in the Lord's kind of church. They have salvation. They have fellowship with saints. They do have the Word of God. And there is a blessing in all of those things. Certainly there is. But on top of being saved and having the Word of God, you and I have been blessed to be in one of His churches. Now, it's a humble thing. It can look like a very weak kind of thing. And actually, the Lord's design of the church and the way that it is and operates in the world, it can be subject to all kinds of things. It is very, in and of itself, it's very weak. But in the power of the Lord, it is very mighty. That's the way the Lord's designed it. That way, He's glorified in it and not you and me. We're not to be glorified in it. We're the benefactors of it. But He's to be glorified in it. And so we have, don't be ignorant about the ministry that's going on around us and what's being testified to us. We just had our anniversary services, right? And it was a time to remember the blessings of years past that the Lord has used to bring us up to here today. We've had brothers and sisters that were faithful to the ministry of the work of the church. Were they perfect? No, they were not perfect, just like you and I are not perfect. But they pursued and they had a desire and they had ups and downs. The church has had pastors. The church has had different teachers. The church has had the Word of God. Don't be ignorant and don't be asleep to the ministry that's going on around us. But take it and join it and gather from it and get from it and be a part of it. Because who was it there in the wilderness with Israel and that assembly that the Lord was not pleased with? Those who didn't believe. Those who didn't understand about the Moses of ministry, the ministry of Moses, and that the Lord was giving them great and wonderful things through that man. It was the Lord that was their leader. Moses was just somebody that they could see. And he was appointed by God, but it was all about the Lord. And then we're to not be ignorant about the second coming of Christ and about those who have died and gone on before us. You know, think about these things. If our ignorance is taken away by the knowledge of the truth, we're in a better shape, aren't we? We have understanding. We know how things are working from the viewpoint and the standpoint of God. And I tell you what, that's a wonderful perspective to have, is how God sees that things really are. I tell you what, it's great to line up with that perspective because we know about eternal things, the eternal things of God. And that helps us. That encourages us, especially in difficult times. And so we are not to be ignorant about those that have died and gone on before us, about the second coming of Christ, how we will be like Him, and how the things of the end of the world are going to be. We took a look at those things. Well, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see here where the brother, he writes to this church at Corinth and to us, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Okay? This chapter, chapter 12, is the beginning of a three-chapter course. And so we're not going to take the time to just delve in deep in all of it. I'm going to rely upon that which you and I have learned in times past. We'll make mention and touch on things with all three chapters. But spiritual gifts. All of us have gifts. We have the things that we can do with our hands. They're not always the same. Sometimes they're the same. We have gifts of things that we think and we can figure out. We have gifts of what we can do. And we think of a gift in singing, playing an instrument. We have gifts of organization, planning, construction, teaching, preaching, handling the Word of God. We have gifts of perception, to perceive what's going on in a situation to where we can go there to bring the help. You know, some perceive things and understand where a thing's heading, and then others of us are just like a goose on a new day, just don't even understand. We got different kinds of gifts, and they're wide and varied. Now, spiritual gifts might be some of those physical things that are done in the world, but then taken over here and applied to the saints, applied to sinners, used on behalf of sinners, to be a help and a witness and encouragement. Spiritual gifts can certainly be from the handling of the Word of God. Spiritual gifts are the doctrine and the teaching that we're given, and we take and we apply that to our living life. Okay, so there's facets to spiritual gifts. He's going to speak about those things that are manifested outwardly, okay? But he doesn't want us to be ignorant. The Lord doesn't want us to be, you know, not knowledgeable about them, because if we understand about these gifts, where they come from, who we can get them from. What do you mean, Brother Jim? Well, is there something on your heart that you can do? And maybe it's something you've never done before. But you know who's the giver of all things? Our Lord. You can ask the Lord for a gift. Another way we might say this is a talent. Now, this passage is going to be speaking about gifts that were there in the time of the first churches. Okay? And those things have passed because we've got the Word of God now. We've got the Bible. We have the Scripture. We're the full canon of Scripture. And so we don't need the gifts of languages because we have the Word of God as a whole in the Bible. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts, of the spiritual things. And so let's take a look here quickly at this. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols. And so they in Corinth there were delivered from idolatry, even as you were led. I mean, that's all they knew. It's what their parents did, what their great-grandparents did, what the great-great-grandparents did, and went right on down the line. And so it's a great blessing to have great-great-great-great-grandparents that have been in the faith, and they pass that on to their children. Not that salvation is passed on by genealogy, but man, to have a witness of family right there at you is a wonderful, wonderful thing from God. Now, it's not a guarantee of salvation of any. And we who are saved should be a good witness to our children. And you know, that's the thing. The more mature child of God will look to be a witness of Christ and to those that are their descendants. But a less mature child of God will only be found to be thinking about themselves. And we're called to think about others, especially those that are there the closest to us. So we need to grow up. I mean, we need to grow up for the sake of our own families. And so he says here, you're Gentiles, dumb idols was their case. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit of God. And so that's salvation by the Spirit of God causes us to know the testimony of Christ Jesus. It's not something that you just pick up. It's not a salvation and a membership in one of the Lord's churches. It's not like joining the Kiwanis. Okay, it's of the Spirit of God. And by the Spirit of God, we know that Jesus is Savior. And the Lord said that to his disciples, didn't he? He said, flesh and blood, Jesus said, has not revealed this unto you. But my Father has revealed this unto you, right? And so here he says, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the Spirit of God is working in these things, in the gifts that we have. You know, someone that's not saved may be very talented in a thing. They may have the just natural, what we would say, the natural ability or gift to do a certain thing. But then when they're saved, they find out that's been given to them by God. Now, if somebody was really naturally good at gambling, that's not been given by God. But that reasoning might be able to be used for something righteous. And they learn that. They learn that what they were involved with, that's no good. That doesn't glorify the Lord. But now they can take this ability that they have and use it to glorify the Lord. Okay? And so these come from our Lord. And he says here there's differences in that. There's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And this is church context. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You know, not every church needs to have a business discussion meeting before their business meetings, but I'm glad we do. You need to have time to pray about things and think about things. Know what's going on. Share ideas and understanding. I mean, there's been things that have come out of that have been a help to the church. But a church doesn't have to have, you don't have a business discussion meeting? Well, then that's just wrong. No. There's differences. You know, one song, prayer list, two songs. Two songs, prayer list, one song. That's the way we do it. But other churches don't have to do it that way. There's differences in things. There's in some cases, for the sake of the church, the pastor handles some things. Sometimes those things are distributed out to brethren, or a church has deacons. There's differences. But all those gifts and all that ability is given by the Lord. The question to always ask, is it glorifying the Lord? That's if it's glorifying the Lord, it's good and it's right. And that's what we need to seek to do. And I think, does it glorify the Lord? And does it include the church? You know, there's no cliques. There's not to be cliques or divide. We are one body, as this subject speaks unto us. And so, diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And so this is unto the profiting, okay, to the glorification of the Lord and to a edification, which will be spoken about in chapter 14. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom to understand things. You know, you ever said somebody brought something up and said, well, I didn't think about that. Okay? Wisdom shared. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To know facts and details, and then to take that and bring it over here and put it to work in this situation. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Faithfulness and trusting the Lord and pointing others to trust to the Lord. This is in church context. Let us not forget the Lord is at hand. He knows what's going on. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, in our day, this touching, walking on under the shadow of Brother Peter and all that, that's past because we've got the Word of God. But we've got some nurses in our church, and some of you sometimes consult with them. Okay, we've got mothers and grandmothers in the church that have been down the road with sick children. They help out. They know. Okay, and so that. So to a degree, those things are still at hand. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. See, when we're outside of the Lord and we don't know the Lord, outside of salvation by Him, we just think we're on our own. But being in Christ, we know these things come from the Lord. Brethren, we pray that, and the ladies in their prayer class and such, we pray all the time that the Lord would get behind a thing and work. We're relying on Him. as much as we know, or as little as we know, or as able as we are, or not able as we are, we need the Lord to work. To another, the working of miracles. Now, I'm not going to work a miracle, and nor are you. But the Lord still works miracles, doesn't he? And we know that he can. And so that was for that time. Another, prophecy, to take and expound upon the Word of God. Another is given the gift of discerning of spirits. We need to have discernment about spirits, because there's a lot of spirits in the world floating around and going around telling abominable things, things abominable to God, and we need to be able to discern that. You know, I mean, somebody newly saved, just not knowing, not being persuaded, could fall after some things that are just, by some, just we just know that that's not good, not right, not honoring to the Lord. Another, divers kinds of tongues, languages. In our day, it's not a miraculous thing of speak and others hear, but yet the Lord can give a brother, a sister, the ability to learn a language very well, okay? And to another, interpretation of tongues. And so maybe not able to speak in our day, not able to speak, but able to understand, know what's said, and to interpret. But all these work, these gifts, and these are the gifts that are listed, and there are many more. Every ability, every opportunity that we have is given by the Lord. And here's the summary of that. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit. He's in the middle of it, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, just a side note, you and I are given this ability by the Spirit, and we're brought to the knowledge of ability maybe that we would say, quote-unquote, we naturally have. We're brought to that by the Spirit of God, and to know that He has given us that. And you know what? We have a great responsibility to take and use that for His honor and glory and service. If you've been given the gift, and you and I have been given the opportunity, we are blessed to be duty-bound to use it for our Lord. All things for the furtherance of the kingdom of our Lord. And that's a privilege. It's not a duty. In the flesh, we might look at it as a duty, but it is our privilege indeed. And so the Spirit, He's not, oops, I gave the gift of accounting to Brother Mark. No, He's done that by design and on purpose, as an example. Oops, I gave the ability of teaching to Sister so-and-so. No, it's not a mistake. It's by design. It's by the working of the Lord. And that side note that I didn't mention, all of that was given to Jesus, the man. No dividing of the Spirit severally. But He's got all the Spirit of God, as we see in John chapter 3, as a man. And that's something about another, just a thing about our Lord Jesus. So here we speak about He speaks about the body. For as the body, verse 12, is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And so now, He wants us to not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. He's talked about the gifts. He's talking about how they're distributed. But now He's going to give us another picture about a body. My finger has the gift of pointing. And you're not supposed to point at people, right? My finger has the gift of feeling. My fingernail doesn't have the gift of feeling. But you know what? The finger needs the fingernail. And the fingernail needs the finger, right? The hand, I can't do with my knee what I can do with my hand. But my hand needs my knees to be able to get me there to do what I do with my hands. Right? That's the picture that's being laid out here. Let's read. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And what's this context that he's speaking about? We are the body of Christ. You and I, here at Olmsted Baptist Church, together, we are together the body of Christ here in this church. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. You were baptized, right? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, ethnicity has nothing to do with it. Whether we be bond or free, our status as a slave or as a free man has nothing to do with it. And have been all made to drink of that one Spirit, into that one Spirit, and that is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many members. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of this body, is it therefore not of the body? So, well, your gift is this, and my gift is that, and so my gift is better than your gift. No. We need both gifts. We need both talents. Somewhere down the line, well, that talent doesn't get used too often. Doesn't matter. If it's needed. If it's at hand, the Lord has given it and it's needed. Okay? And so in this picture of the body, he said that the foot can't say to the hand, you're not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Now, can there be jealousy about talents and gifts? There can be. Watch out. The Lord, we had that SBS, what, year before last. The Lord's made you the way you need to be. Now, we need to take, you know, we can be to where we don't do well with what we've been given. And we need to do well with what we've been given. But how the Lord has made us is the way He's made us. And we need to be happy about that. We need to joy in our Lord about that. And if we want to continue on or to add, then we need to pursue and add and seek the Lord's face in giving to us that which we desire. The Lord will do that. He'll do that. He'll give and bless with more than what you have. If you have a heart's desire to pursue a thing, He'll equip. He'll help. He can do that. And we need to be willing to yield to the way that He's made each and every one of us. But He says the ear doesn't need to be jealous over the eye, but to take full up what the Lord has made in that talent of being an ear. Because God has tempered it there, as we'll see. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If everybody wanted to be the eye, how would it hear? If the whole thing were hearing, where would be the smelling? Need to smell too. But now if God set in the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. He's the designer. So look what ignorance about this, not knowing, would do to us. We might be jealous. We might be found to be jealous. We might be found to be in a place of not being content. Brother, sister, so-and-so can do that. I can't do that. But what can you do? What can you do? And whatever it is that you can do, put it to work. Take it and get it and put it to work. Well, no, I can't do what sister so-and-so does, so I'm not going to do anything. No, that's what the Lord has given. The Lord hasn't given that. The Lord's equipped me to do such and such a thing, but I'm not going to do it because I don't feel like it. How's that? What if Christ didn't feel like it? The Lord's not given me this other thing to do, so I'm just not going to do what I can do because I just don't want to do it. Well, how do you face Christ with that? We don't need to be that way. We don't need to be that way at all. We need to, well, Lord, what is it that you've given me to do if we don't understand? And then we need to take it and put it to use. Put it to use for Him. We do it, as the Scripture says, we do all things heartily as unto the Lord. Okay? And not be jealous. And not be malcontent, but take what we have and put it to use. He set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And so if you're here and the Lord's added you to Olmsted Baptist Church, then He's done that and He's equipped you with the equipping that you need and that we need together. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If it was all one big eyeball or all big one big thumb, there would be no body, right? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And so respecter of persons is found in this. Well, I do the big job. We had a time in the church, right, that there was the chief deacon. There's no chief deacon. There were deacons. There was no chief deacon. Saying that there was a hierarchy amongst the deacons. That's not of the Lord. Now, is there an office of deacon that can be in the church? Sure. And the Lord's given that. And just let us just say that those deacons are chosen by the church to be a servant position. So let that be understood, okay? And so there's no respecter of persons. I have no need of thee, the eye, nor the, again, the head to the feet. I have no need of you. And don't let, in that verse number 21, don't let that was, I thought Christ was the head. He is our leader. Christ is our leader. But in given this parabolistic picture of this about gifts and talents and such in the church, the reference is made looking at a body that the head being the brain and the sight and the hearing and the speech and all that, the head can't take over. Because otherwise the head would just have to roll around to get everywhere it wanted to get. And that would be ugly, wouldn't it? And the head needs the body. I have no need of you. Verse 22. Nay, no, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You get some of your toes cut off and see how well you do standing. We don't think about toes much. People think about toes a lot when they lose them. Balance is impaired. Fall down more than ever before. People lose toes to diabetes. We don't think about our toes, but I tell you, we sure need our toes. Everybody else from the toes up needs the toes. And so they seem more feeble. They seem, but they're most necessary. And that's the way the Lord's designed it in the church. And those members of the body which seem to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Because of why? This unity, this melding together of the body working as a whole. And here's what we see. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together and given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Smack your thumb with a hammer, and all the rest of the body will respond. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. One of our members gets touched with something, the whole body is to respond. Prayer, assistance, care and compassion, right? That's the way the Lord's done it. There's no part that's more or no part that's less, because we are not the individual part of Christ. We are the body of Christ. All fused together for his work and for the ministry that he's given us to do. And whether one member suffer, verse 26, all the members suffer with it, and one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, I mean, if the feet and the legs and the torso with the arms run the race and win the prize, right? As an example. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Okay, so the Lord has worked with each individual. It's not that individuality is lost. He didn't save us with a wholesale salvation, did he? Just one big swoop, save them a bleacher at a time. And there's been times here at Onslow Baptist Church, there's been many folks saved, quite a few saved, all in one service or a series of services or such. But they, you know how each one was saved? By an individual visit of the Lord. It wasn't a wholesale thing. The Lord moved and worked at the same time or near the same time in many, but he visited each individual. We don't lose our individuality, but we don't need to take our individuality and let that be the end of what we are. We've been placed in the Lord's church, his body, his representative, his ambassador on this earth. Now, we are the body of Christ, the members in particular, verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles. And so here he begins, I believe, indeed, to speak about the leadership, okay? I think that's what's brought out here is the leadership in the church, okay? And so and this dovetails with the subject about when did the Lord start his church and how big the church was and all that, which is a subject for another time. But here he's speaking about leadership. He set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, speaking about offices therein. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles when you look at the body? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No, not everybody does. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But those that do, do. And the body is blessed and benefited by it. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I'm going to rely upon your knowledge of chapter 13. He goes into chapter 13 and he makes this insert here about love. Love unto action. Not just love of the lips. Not just love that is spoken, which is not true love. That's an expression of something, but it's only really known by the action that backs it up. We can have Christ tell us he loves us, but we only know that he really does love us because of what he did for us. And so then love, charity, love with legs on it, love unto action, has characteristics, has maturity. It's to grow. And then it ends up here in this chapter with the three things that remain. The three things that remain to the child of God: faith in our Lord, believing him and what he has said, hope, he is our hope, and then this love with legs on, referred to and the word charity being used there. These things are the things that remain for the child, maturing child of God, but the greatest of these is love. So then we come to chapter 14, and he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. And I'll just bring you to the summation of this. He says, you know what the best gift is? Desire the best gift. The more excellent way in love is to let the words of your mouth be right, be appropriate, and be unto edification. There's some order in the church that's supposed to be, and we look to follow that as a church, and I'm thankful for that. There's an order and a design that God has given, that he's given that. He's decided that. He's determined the roles of the genders, and there's a right way for that to be. And, you know, the religious world has blown that up, and the secular world doesn't understand a lick about it. And the thing is, this is not everything. You know, don't think that the things regarding the roles of the genders in chapter 14, that if you just have that right, everything's okay. Because there's a lot of people that I believe it seems that live that way. If they just get those things right, everything is okay. But we don't watch our mouths the rest of the week. And what we speak is not into edification and the glorification of the Lord. Well, we've blown up everything that we've done outwardly because we've actually made ourselves a hypocrite by putting on something that we're testifying to and what we do and then blowing it up the rest of the week with our mouth. Okay? So the best thing is this. The key point of this chapter, I believe, is verse number 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And this here, he would rather, verse number 19, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than with 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So the gifts, the talents, the Lord's given them. Take them and use them. But make sure that what comes out of our mouth is the greatest gift of all that we have. Our voice and our speech seasoned with salt, seasoned with grace, as the Scripture says. Full of love in everything that we do. Love for our Lord. Love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And love for sinners. That pushes us and urges us to action. Verse number 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet, and there's an aspect here that he's kind of making a dig at some of those there in Corinth. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, thinks himself to be a spiritual man, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If this is for real, don't take this and blow this off. Don't take this and just say, okay, whatever. I'll let my brothers and sisters pick up that they want to. I like where I'm at right here, and this is just the way I'm going to sail. No. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, each and every one of us. We don't need to be ignorant about how the Lord's equipped us. The Lord has never called us, indeed, He's never called us to this calling to ever be a spectator sport. We're to be involved. But you know what the statement He makes here? But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know, it can be with us that we can just buck, even as the children of God, just buck up against what the Lord said, what the hope and the blessing that He gives us, and He being this equipper, and that we can go to Him. What is it that James says? You want wisdom? Go to the Lord. He's got wisdom. He doesn't upbraid anybody that comes to Him. He'll give liberally. Well, if He'll do that with wisdom, won't He do that with other things? And won't He help us in the things and the talents that we have that maybe we need to improve in, putting it to work for Him? Can He do that? Sure He can. But you know what? If you and I just want to be ignorant, let us be ignorant. You know what? We'll miss out. The clock is ticking for every single one of us, and we don't know the time that's remaining on the clock. We don't know. It's like a digital clock is there, and it's got so many days, so many hours, so many minutes, and so many seconds. And what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with what our Lord said? May this not be our case that we say, well, I don't know and I don't want to know. No, no, no. And ask the Lord and look for His blessing and be involved. Remember this morning, indeed our Lord Jesus is the servant of servants. And you and I are called to serve Him well with the way that He's equipped us indeed. Wherefore, brethren, verse 39, covet to prophesy, that is, expound, to give the word of God, and forget not to speak with tongues, which that's not in our day. And he says here, let all things be done decently and in order, glorifying the Lord, a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, a blessing to sinners that we are around and are able to witness to. And take the equipping of our Lord and use it for His honor, His glory, and the furtherance of His kingdom. My desire for each and every one of you is when you stand before the Lord that you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.